Hello, who is this Lance Corporal Diekman?
Yes.
Is that how you say it? Is it?
Yes, yes.
Brandon Diekman?
Correct.
D-I-E-C-K-M-A-N-N?
Correct.
Brandon, and let's see, Brandon, how old are you now?
I am 22.
Okay. And Brandon, where did you graduate from high school out here and when?
Coronado. That was 2010.
Coronado in 2010, class of 2010.
Correct.
And Brandon, why did you join the Marines?
I just want to do some traveling, kind of get out, see the world, do something different, you know, just so I can have a lot of crazy stories to tell and meet some interesting mm-hmm. people and just, I don't know, prove to myself I could.
Okay. And tell me this, did you, specifically get into this robotics, or were you kind of assigned to? How did you come into the robotics end of the deployment?
It was just sort of they picked random people from each platoon.
Sort of a what?
They picked random people from each platoon, but like
okay.
there was a little bit of. A little bit headway in terms of who they pick. Like some of the guys, I don't know. They weren't. How do I say it? Like the knuckle draggers, you know.
mm-hmm. Okay. So. And what I found interesting is that this is and correct me if I'm wrong, but. The way I see this technology is that it serves like a pack mule that kind of follows the rough terrain you have to go through to carry all the heavy loads, right?
Yeah, that's what it was designed. Well, that's what we used it for.
And the interesting thing is, several years ago, I wrote about a Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency contest that was held for contractors to develop this same kind of technology, and they actually had a race that went across the Mojave Desert, I think it was. And voila, here we are today. It's in practice. Were you familiar with that?
I've heard of, you know, different projects that DARPA has been funding or contests that they've had, but not that specific mm-hmm. one.
But am I correct in saying that this was a spinoff of that that competition?
I can't tell you directly that it is. I know that Boston Dynamics has been working with DARPA for several years, and to my knowledge, it's like the most advanced four-legged robot out there. So it was probably there, but I can't confirm that.
And when you say four-legged robot, describe it for me. What I mean, what does it look like? What's it? Is it? Is it a tracked vehicle? Is it? Is it?
Well,
what is it?
It is exactly as it as the name implies. It has four legs. It kind of resembles a mule, or like, I guess a fat horse or something. They have different grips that they can put on the feet. Like they have wider mm-hmm. ones made for different terrain, like sand or, you know, something mm-hmm. less stable. But it pretty much looks like a mule or a bull or something.
Mm-hmm.
When it moves, it doesn't walk obviously as gracefully as an actual animal, but it kind of prances, I guess. And it's kind of weird looking. It's a little uncanny.
Okay. So how fast does it go?
We could take it out on like flat terrain at 10 kilometers per hour, which is pretty fast. It's fast enough that we have to jog to keep up with it at full speed.
And how much does it carry?
It can carry, well, the effective weight that they told us to put on it was 400 pounds, but we've gotten more than that. Like, it could carry up to 6 or 7. They just didn't want us to put all that on there, and honestly, it's not an issue of how much or the weight that it could carry. It's, like, the volume of stuff that we can put on it before it, like, starts crashing into trees and, you know, becoming too big.
Mm-hmm. So the volume, you're talking like, what are you talking about that you carry on it?
The shapes of the stuff that we put on it, water jugs, fuel jugs, they don't really quite fit as well as they should, and we could only get maybe half as much as we would like to for a day's worth of supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way that the jugs are shaped. But we were able to manage to get an entire day's worth of water on it if we used these camelback bladders that they had for us.
An entire day's
just water.
Worth of water for how many people?
It could sustain just the water. If that's all you have loaded on it, it would be probably like a platoon.
For a platoon, so that's about what?
Yeah.
I'm an Army guy, so an Army guy, I should say. So our platoons were probably about anywhere from 25 to 40. You know.
Yeah, Marine platoons usually it's like 40 to 45 people.
40 to 45 people, okay. And you can carry ammunition on there too?
Yeah, you can carry, as long as it fits, you can carry it. So.
As long as it what?
As long as it fits. I mean, we carried ammo, food, water, mostly. We just used it as like a logistical resupply.
Okay. Now, is this being used in theater, or is it just being tested now? What's the status of the technology?
Purely just testing. This was like the first major exercise testing that they've done with it. They've had guys up in Quantico use it, and the Army used it before this. But other than that, there's never been like a full-scale operation where they were testing it.
And how many of them were out in the field with you?
We had two out there. We had two. It was a gas-fueled one, regular gasoline.
Okay. They were carrying gasoline, you say?
No, they were the gasoline-fueled ones. They brought out the gasoline.
Oh, the gasoline-fueled ones. Okay, so they run on gasoline and what else?
That's it for those. It's just gas and battery, and then the other one that was a diesel. But they didn't bring that one out.
So it's kind of a hybrid if it uses battery too, huh?
It's mostly just for the computer functions. It's not for the actual operation of it.
Okay, gotcha. Not like a Prius, a Toyota,
no.
A Prius, which goes okay. Gotcha. But they do have a diesel version of it.
Yeah, they made one just because, you know, the military's not going to do anything that runs off of regular unleaded.
Yeah, okay. And so how did it perform?
It was, I would say, it does better than most people are going to think that it'll do. It got kind of hairy. We took it out into the scrub, and the issue it was having wasn't so much with the terrain as it was with the vegetation and the vines getting wrapped around the legs and kind of getting it stuck that way. But in terms of being able to negotiate like steeper hills and sharp turns, it can do that. It can go through a lot of what we can go through. Like, I have pretty decent confidence in it. It's just the technology is not quite where it needs to be in order to keep up with an infantry platoon. It's more of a hindrance right now, in its current state, is more of a hindrance than a benefit.
I see.
I mean, but it's like, it's developmental stuff. The way that the Boston Dynamics guys were explaining it to me is that it's not so much about making this specific mule able to keep up with an infantry platoon as it's about getting the technology for making robotic legs, because nobody's done that before. Like, mm-hmm. they could just give us a mule and that would work. The whole point of it is to see if we can create robotic legs and put them on things to carry, like, bigger loads over harsher terrain. So it works decently well. Not enough to the point where I would trust it in a real-life situation, mm-hmm. but if I'm just walking around a base or a camp or a FOB and I got to carry 400 pounds of water, I would definitely want it to help me do that.
So it's a budding technology then that still has some kinks to work out.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, you are primarily a rifleman, right? Is that what you're...
Yeah, for the past 4 years now.
Rifleman for 4 years. And you're a Lance Corporal now?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you do? Were you the operator of this?
It was me and four other guys. And they took us out at MCTAB, which is a training area over here, Bellows. And they took a week, and they had us play with the technology. They trained us in how to use it so that when we came out for RIMPAC, we were the five operators that would use mm-hmm. the robot whenever they needed us. So I was one of the operators.
Okay. So it took a week for training.
Yeah, I mean, but it really wouldn't even take a week to train somebody on how to use it. We had it up and running the first day. It takes a little bit getting used to know, like, what it can handle and how to drive it through terrain, because what it does is it'll follow exactly where you go. So the operator has to make, like, a conscious decision of what path he's going to take. So he has to know what the robot goes through before he goes through it, otherwise it'll get stuck.
Oh, I see. So it basically follows you like a dog, huh?
Yeah, it follows exactly where you step. There's a little pedometer on the foot that'll track everywhere you take a step, and the way they explain it is like laying breadcrumbs for it, and that's how it tracks you. It does that, and it does it tracks off of the backpack, which uses like infrared.
Okay, so all the tracking mechanism is on the robot, but it's geared to detecting your specific backpack.
Yeah, there's a backpack and a pedometer that you wear on your boot.
So does this pedometer send a signal back to it?
Yeah.
So are you sending the infrared back to it, or is it sending the infrared that is being received by your pedometer and your backpack?
What it is it's like IR strips. It's the same kind of strobes that people use for like signaling at night for night vision, and the cameras on it pick up on the IR strip, and based on that, it can tell how far away you are and where you're going, and then it pairs that with where you're stepping and the pedometer, and based on that, it kind of...
How far behind it is you? How far behind you is the robot?
You can make it go anywhere from like 5 meters to 15 out, just like increase dispersion or something. But you can drive it ahead of you. There is a joystick mode.
Okay. You have like a joystick, you say?
Yeah, there is a joystick mode.
So did you have a name for this robot that you were operating?
Boston Dynamics called it Mastiff. Our company wanted to call it Cujo, after like a Stephen King novel.
Okay, so let me get this right. What's the name of the company again?
Boston Dynamics.
Austin?
Yeah, Boston.
Oh, Boston, beat like the city.
Yeah.
Boston Dynamics wanted to call it Mastiff.
Yeah, they had named each successive robot was named after a different dog breed from the Big Dog Project. So.
Okay. And what did you guys call it?
The company wanted to call it Cujo. That was a call sign.
How do you spell that?
It's C-U-J-O.
G-U-J-O?
The Charlie Uniform, J, Oscar.
Okay, hang on a second. So they wanted to call it, phonetic spelling and give it to me.
Charlie Uniform, Juliet, Oscar. That was the call sign.
Cujo.
Yeah.
Cujo, which is what is
it's from a Stephen King novel about a dog that I don't know, they terrorize somebody in a van or something. I never read it, but that's what my CEO told me.
I'm glad we've moved past R2-D2, okay? this is fascinating stuff, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about it. What do these things cost, you know?
Well, when I first asked how much the project cost, the guy from the Boston Dynamics told me he didn't want to tell me because I'd be afraid of breaking it, but I found out later that I don't know if it's per unit or the project or what exactly, but $2 million was the number that I read off the internet.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of standard for these, whether we got a remote, the piloted aircraft platform, you know, like a Predator, for example, they're on that same order where you're flying them, but you get four in a package, you know.
Yeah.
So somebody, you know, that's the other advantage of this. No loss of human life if somebody takes it out, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way we're going with all these RPA stuff. But that makes sense. I would imagine it's probably. I'll do a little research and
yeah,
see if I can figure out. I'll call Boston Dynamics up and see if they can tell me. And because you know, once these things get deployed, you know, the cost per unit goes down after they get the R&D out of the way. You know, so it's I guess the status of this would be that it's in advanced research and development now, or is it engineering? What do you call it?
We were out there with DARPA. I don't know at what point they are with it and how far along it is until they actually talk about mass producing the thing. Because to me, it seemed like it's kind of far off, like maybe 20 years from now. But that's based off of that's not based off of any raw data or anything. I just see the technology is not all there yet.
All right, so when are you coming back to Las Vegas?
I get out next year, so I'm not taking any leave then, just saving up.
Mm-hmm.
August next year, I got 1 year left.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you, buddy. Have you been deployed in Afghanistan, Iraq?
I was in Bahrain in 2012.
And when did you join the Marines in 2011?
2010.
Here, you joined from here in Las Vegas?
Yeah, right out of high school.
Beautiful. Well, Brandon, hey, I appreciate it. I'll do one thing. I'll make sure I get your name spelled right, okay?
Yeah, that gets messed up a lot.
Well, there's two N's on the end of it, you know, and I always check ranks because the last guy I interviewed, from the time that I set out the interviewing to the time I got actually on the phone, he had gone from Lance Corporal to Corporal, so that's a good thing. What is it in Marines? Lance Corporal's what, an E4?
E3.
E3? It's like a private first class. And I was a pretty much a PFC most of my Army. I was one of the last draftees back in 72, 74. And,
Infantry doesn't really promote that well.
What's that?
Infantry doesn't really promote that easy.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, well, listen, thanks for serving our country, and thanks for the interview. And if I got questions, I'll get a hold of the Divots folks here. They've been really helpful, and I've got a nice photo here of this this training exercise. When was that training exercise, by the way?
RIMTAC. Well, RIMTAC started, like, we got on the ship on the 5th. I want to say we went out to Kahuku's, I think it was the 9th.
Of July?
Yeah, July.
And the area was, how do you spell that, where you were?
Kahuku, oh, man.
It's probably, let me just check and see if it's in this cut line.
Yeah, if I would look that one up, because I can't know that offhand. All these Hawaiian names, pretty tough to spell.
It was a Hawaiian island.
Oahu.
Oh, it's on Oahu?
Yeah.
Oh, so the training operation took place on Oahu. I've been there.
Correct. Yeah, the training area was Kahuku's training area.
Okay. On Oahu. Is it, how far is it from Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor, I would say like 40 minutes to an hour north.
Oh, that's good. So it's not quite on the other side of the island. It's kind of on the interior then, huh?
No, it's on the coast.
Okay. So it's on kind of...
It's on North Shore.
Okay.
Which is pretty far away from Kaneohe, where we're stationed.
Okay, and where are you stationed?
MCBH, that's Marine Corps Base Hawaii, on Kaneohe Bay.
Beautiful, Brandon. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate all your help. And let's when you get back, let's see if we can hook up or something. Okay.
Yeah, no problem, dude.
All right, take care.
All right, later.
Bye.